There's a moment I think about a lot. A pilot is sitting in the run-up area. The weather is worse than the briefer said it would be. The fuel is a little lower than he'd like, and somewhere in the back of his head, a small voice says, "We'll be fine. We've done this before." That voice has a name, actually. It has 5 names. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today, we're not going to talk about a maneuver. We're not going to talk about airspace or weather codes. We're going to talk about the thing that sits between your ears and quietly makes the worst decision of your flying life feel completely reasonable at the time. We're going to talk about the 5 hazardous attitudes. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. AviationSoul.com. Okay, here's the thing about accidents. When we're students, we think accidents happen because somebody didn't know something. They didn't know the airspeed. They didn't know the regulation. They forgot a checklist item. And sometimes that's true. But when you actually read the reports, when you sit down with the National Transportation Safety Board findings, you notice something uncomfortable. Most of the pilots in those reports knew better. They were rated. They were current. They had the knowledge. What they didn't have in that one moment was the right attitude toward a decision. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, figured this out decades ago. They built an entire branch of training around it called Aeronautical Decision Making, or ADM. And at the heart of ADM is this idea that there are 5 specific mental patterns that show up again and again in accident pilots. 5 attitudes that feel like good sense in the moment and turn out to be poison. The FAA calls them the 5 hazardous attitudes, and the reason we teach them by name is simple. You cannot fight an enemy you can't recognize. But the second you can name the voice in your head, you take away most of its power. So let's meet all 5. And for each one, I'll give you the antidote, because that's the part people forget. Every hazardous attitude has a specific phrase, a countermeasure, that you say to yourself, out loud if you have to, right there in the cockpit. The first one is anti-authority. Anti-authority sounds like this. Don't tell me what to do. The rules are for other people. This regulation is stupid and whoever wrote it has never flown a real airplane. Now, I want to be fair. Some rules do feel arbitrary when you're a student. And healthy pilots ask why a rule exists. That's fine. That's good even. But the hazardous version is different. The hazardous version uses the frustration as permission to skip the rule entirely. Picture a pilot who decides the fuel reserve regulation is overly cautious. 45 minutes at night, please. It's a 30-minute flight. He's done it 100 times. And 99 of those times he was right. The problem is aviation only needs you to be wrong once. The antidote to anti-authority is 4 words. Follow the rules. They are usually right. Say it. When you catch yourself arguing with a regulation instead of following it, that's your cue. The second attitude is impulsivity. Impulsivity is the pilot who feels like he has to do something, anything, right now. Something changes, an alarm, a rough-running engine, an unexpected radio call, and instead of taking a breath, he grabs the first action that comes to mind. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. In almost every emergency in a light airplane, the first thing you should do is nothing. Fly the airplane, wind the clock, as the old-timers say. The airplane is not going to fall out of the sky in the next 3 seconds because you paused to think. The classic impulsivity accident is the engine hiccup on climbout, where the pilot instantly yanks the airplane around to get back to the field, stalls it in the turn, and spins in. He didn't think, he reacted. If he'd taken even 2 seconds to pitch for best glide and pick a spot straight ahead, he might have walked away. The antidote to impulsivity is this. Not so fast. Think first. When your hands want to move before your brain has caught up. That's the phrase. The third attitude is the big one. Invulnerability. Invulnerability is the quiet belief that accidents happen to other people. You read the crash report and some part of you thinks, well, that guy was reckless. That would never be me. I'm careful, and I get it. You have to have some confidence to fly. But invulnerability is what lets a careful, experienced pilot fly into weather that's killing people every single year. Because deep down, he doesn't believe the statistics apply to him. Think about continued visual flight into instrument conditions. It's one of the deadliest things in general aviation. The pilots who die doing it are not, for the most part, idiots. They're often high-time pilots. What gets them is the certainty that they personally can handle what got the last guy, that the mountains and the clouds make exceptions for people who fly a lot. They don't. The antidote to invulnerability is short, and it stings a little. It could happen to me. Say it, looking at the weather, it could happen to me. The fourth attitude is macho. Now, macho is not about gender. Female pilots get this one too. Macho is the need to prove something, to take on the challenge, to show that you can do it, to be the one who pressed on when others turned back. Macho sounds like, I can do this, watch this, anybody can fly in good weather. It's the pilot who takes the tricky short field with the tailwind and the trees at the end because turning it down would feel like admitting he isn't good enough. It's the low pass over the friend's house. It's the crosswind that's 5 knots past the airplane's demonstrated component, taken on because backing down feels like weakness. Here's the trap. In aviation, the macho decision and the skilled decision look completely different from the outside, but they feel exactly the same from the inside. Both feel like confidence. The antidote to macho is one of my favorites because it reframes the whole thing. Taking chances is foolish. The real professionals, the ones I admire most, are almost boring in how conservative they are. They have nothing to prove. That's the flex, and the fifth attitude is resignation. Resignation is the opposite of macho, and in some ways it's the saddest one. Resignation is the pilot who gives up, who decides the situation is out of his hands. What's the use? It's up to fate now. If it's my time, it's my time. You see this when things start to pile up. The weather's bad, the airplane's doing something strange, the workload is climbing, and instead of fighting for every option, the pilot mentally checks out. He stops flying the airplane and starts being a passenger in it. He hands the controls to luck. Resignation also shows up in a subtler way when a pilot lets a more assertive passenger or another pilot make decisions he knows are wrong because it's easier to go along than to speak up. The antidote to resignation is a fist on the glare shield. I'm not helpless, I can make a difference. As long as that propeller is turning, you have options. You are the pilot in command, act like it, right up to the last second. So there they are. Anti-authority, impulsivity, invulnerability, macho, and resignation. Five voices, five antidotes. Now let me tell you why this isn't just a checklist you memorize for the written test and forget. Let me give you a scenario, and I want you to notice how the attitudes stack. You planned to cross country to see family. You've got the airplane booked, everybody's expecting you, and the forecast this morning was marginal but legal. You get to the airport, and it's a little worse than forecast. Ceilings are lower than you'd like. Voice number one shows up, the weather minimums are conservative anyway. They build in a huge buffer. That's anti-authority. You start the engine before you've really thought it through, because you're already behind schedule. That's impulsivity. Halfway there, the ceiling is dropping and the visibility is going down and there's a little voice saying, other pilots get caught in this, but I've got good instincts, I'll be fine. That's invulnerability, you could turn around. There's a perfectly good airport 20 miles back in clear air. But turning around means calling your family and admitting you couldn't make it, so you press on. That's macho. And then the horizon disappears into gray and you're not sure which way is up, and a part of you just goes quiet and thinks, well, we'll see what happens now. That's resignation, that's the last one, and it's usually the last one for a reason. Every one of those decisions felt reasonable. Every single one. That's the whole point. The hazardous attitudes don't feel hazardous. They feel like being practical, being confident, being committed, being calm, they wear the costume of good judgment. So, how do you actually use this on your next flight? First, learn the names cold, not for the test, for yourself. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, explicitly expects you to identify these attitudes and their antidotes, and your examiner is going to want to hear more than a memorized list. The examiner is looking for a pilot who can catch these attitudes in a real scenario in himself and say what he'd do about it. So, when your instructor throws a scenario at you, don't just solve the weather problem. Name the attitude that's trying to talk you into the bad option. Second, and this is the practical part, say the antidote out loud. I mean it. In the cockpit alone, when you feel that pull to press on or to prove something or to skip the reserve, hearing your own voice say, it could happen to me, or taking chances is foolish breaks the spell. It moves the decision from the gut back up to the brain where it belongs. Third, build a hard gate before you fly. When you're calm, personal minimums, a number for ceiling, a number for visibility, a number for crosswind, a number for fuel on landing. Write them down at the kitchen table where no hazardous attitude can reach you. Because the whole danger of these attitudes is that they only show up when you're already committed, already moving, already invested. A decision you made in advance, on the ground, in the clear, is a decision the macho voice can't renegotiate at 3,000 feet. And here's the honest part. Learning to fly is hard and it's expensive, and there is real pressure baked into it. Pressure to finish the rating, to not waste the rental money, to not disappoint the people waiting for you. I'm not going to pretend that pressure isn't real. It is. That's exactly why these five attitudes are so dangerous. They don't arrive as bad ideas. They arrive dressed as your own good sense, right when you're most tired and most invested and least able to argue back. The five hazardous attitudes come out of the FAA's work on aeronautical decision-making, and you'll find them laid out in the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge and the Risk Management Handbook if you want to go deeper. Read them tonight, they're free, and they might be the most important pages in the whole book. There's more on the show over at RadioHangar.com if you want it. So on your next flight, listen for the voice. And when it starts talking, talk back. That's the whole job. I'm Pattern. Fly, like you've got nothing to prove.